Today's daf is Shavuos daf Mem Vav. We left off on daf Mem Hey Amud Beis. We are a few lines before the lines get wide. We were discussing the comment of Shmuel, the statement of Shmuel. Shmuel had said, again, focusing on our Mishnah, which was discussing Shavuos de Rabbanan, that sometimes the Rabbanan were misakein, that certain people could be nishbatin v'notlin, they can take a Shavuah in order to receive money, in order to get money, and the first person on the list of nishbatin v'notlin was a sachir, was a worker that he can swear that he hasn't gotten paid, and he can go ahead and collect his money. So Shmuel said, this whole din of nishbatin v'notlin is only when he was hired with Edim, but if he was hired without Edim, since the employer can say, Lo schartichah me'olam, he could deny ever hiring the guy. So, Yachalom lo schartichah v'nasati lach scharcha. He can also say, I hired you and I already paid you, and he'd be believed. So, Migo, that he could have said he never hired him, he'd be believed to say that he already paid him. So, Rabbi Yitzchak said, not only did Shmuel say that, Rabbi Yochanan said the same din. So, we discussed what does that mean about what Reish Lakish said. Reish Lakish probably argued, but initially he didn't know. Rabbi Yitzchak didn't know that Reish Lakish argued because Reish Lakish wouldn't say anything right away when Rabbi Yochanan was speaking. He would let Rabbi Yochanan finish his piece. Fine. Three lines before the lines get wide. Itmar nami yam Rabbi Nashi Barzvid amar Rav. Not only did Shmuel say this, but it was also said in the name of Rav. Lo shanu lo shesach rebeidim. Abul sachr shelo beidim mitok sheyachalom lo lo schatich me'olam. Yachalom lo schatich v'nasati lach scharcha. Same thing, same halacha. That Rav agrees to Shmuel that this whole halacha that a sachr could be nishba v'notel is only if he was hired with Edim, meaning we know we have absolute proof that he was actually hired, but if we don't have any proof that he was hired, so the employer can say, I never hired you, and since he could have said, I never hired you, we believe him to say that he hired him, but he had already paid him. So the sacher loses the right to be nishpa v'notel when there were no Edim that he in fact was hired. Fine. So that is the din that we're going to be referring to as the din of Rav and Shmuel. The din that Rav and Shmuel both say, the chiddush of Rav and Shmuel, that if there's no evidence that the person was ever hired, then the sachir does not have the right to take the shvuah. Amar Rami Bar Chama, kama ma'al yahashmaita. So Rami Bar Chama says, wow, what a gevaldika teaching. What a phenomenal chiddush. Amar le Rava, my mal yusa. So Rava says, what's the big deal? Im kain, shvuah shomrin, d'chiyav rachmana, hechi mishkachasla. He says, how are you ever going to have a case of a shvuas hashomrim, meaning the Torah says that a shomer sachar, if let's say the item that he's watching breaks or dies, the shomer sachar has a chiv daraisa to take a shvua, right? It says in the pasuk, meso nishvar o nishva shvuas Hashem tia bein shnehem, that there should be a shvua, the shomer sachar takes a shvua. Well, where is there ever going to be a case where the shomer sachar is going to be chayiv to take a shvua? Meaning, based on this chiddush of Rav and Shmuel, that if we don't have evidence that the transaction ever took place in the first place, then the guy is never going to have the right to take the shvua. So what's the case where the shomer sachar does take the shvua? Because after all, can't we apply the same logic of Rav and Shmuel, that since the shomer sachar could always say lo hayidvarim me'olam, that I never had anything of yours to watch, you never gave me anything to watch, so he could say you gave me something to watch, but it was an ones. I promised that it was an accident. It was beyond my control. Meaning, using Rav and Shmuel's exact logic, the shomer sachar should never have to take a shvua unless we have evidence that it was actually given to him, because he could always say the same migo that I could have denied the whole transaction ever happened. So believe me that it was in fact an ones. Yeah, the case of the shomer sachar is only if there were edim that he was actually trusted with this item, that he was actually given this item. So frak the Gemara, but still he has a migo. Can we still say that since he could have told him, I returned it to you already, so we're going to believe him to say that he hasn't returned it, but that it was an ones? We should still say amigo, even if you have a raya that the transaction took place, but how do you know that it's still in place? Says the Gemara, it must be that there's a shtar that verifies that he gave him this pikadon, and so long as he's still holding on to the shtar, we know that it hasn't been returned. So says the Gemara, Mechal de Travayu Svirlu, Hamafkin Eitzel Chaveru Be'edim, Ein Tzarech Lachzer Lo Be'edim, Bishtar Tzarech Lachzer Lo Be'edim. Sounds like that we hold that if you're mafkid by, if you give a pikadon to somebody with edim, so you don't need to return it with edim. Because what would the Gemara just say? That even though there are edim that you gave me the pikadon to watch, I could always taina that I returned it already. What do you mean I katana that I returned it already? Where are the edim that I returned it? So it must be that everyone's holding that I don't need to have edim that I returned it. Just because you used edim to give it to me doesn't mean I need to pay it back with edim. I don't need to give it back to you with edim. But when there's a shtar that you gave it to me, so now I can no longer claim that I returned it already. Why can't I claim that I returned it already? Must be because we hold that if you give it to me with a shtar, then I do need to return it with edim. Fine. Kari Rami Bar Chama Aleid Rav Sheshes. Rami Bar Chama said about Rav Sheshes, who we're going to see what he said in a second, but Rami Bar Chama commented about Rav Sheshes, Vayasum David Asadvar Me'ila Belibo, which that he really puts these things to mind, he really takes these things to heart, and thinks about things very carefully. Meaning he reads, instead of just giving him a compliment, he does it in the form of quoting a pasuk, where the pasuk says, Vayasum David Asadvar Me'ila Belivavo, is actually what the pasuk says. The pasuk goes, it's about a different issue, but he's just quoting the phrase from the pasuk, not for the actual meaning of the pasuk. That sometimes people are just very focused on things, and because they think about certain things, they're able to come to a deeper understanding. So Rami Bar Chama said that about Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes put his mind to something and really thought about it, and therefore came to a deeper understanding. Now, what in the world is he talking about? Da Ashkei Rav Sheshes to Rabba Bar Shmuel, because Rav Sheshes saw Rabba Bar Shmuel once. Amalein, he said, Tani Mar Midi B'Sachir. Hey, did you learn anything from Tanaim relating to a Sachir, relating to the case of a worker? Meaning in our Mishnah where we said that a Sachir is Nishma Benotel, do you have any interesting teachings about that? And what he was really fishing for was, we have this Chiddush of Rav and Shmuel, that a Sachir, we know the Halacha is, Rav and Shmuel hold, if there was never any witnesses that the Sachir was ever hired to do the job, the Sachir does not have the right to be Nishba Vinotel. So he was fishing for Tanaim. He wanted to know, what do the Tanaim have to say about that? Is there any teaching in Tanaim that would either verify Rav and Shmuel to be correct or prove them to be incorrect? So Amar Leih, so Rabbi Bar Shmuel said back to him, in Tanina, yeah, we taka do have a teaching of Tanaim as follows. Sachir bizmano nishba v'notel. A sachir on time, and when he's supposed to get paid, he could be nishba v'notel. Ketzad, how is this so? Bizman sharma lo schartani. V'lo nesata lischari, says, you hired me, but you never paid me my wages. V'hala, Omer, and the employer says, schartika, I hired you, v'nesati lach scharcha, but I have paid you your wages. That's a sachir that's nishba v'notel. Aval, amr lo shtayim katsatsli, v'hala amr lo katsatsli lach ala achas. But when they're arguing not about whether wages were paid, they're arguing about what the agreed upon wages were. They're arguing about what the salary was going to be. He says, you hired me for shtayim, and the other guy says, no, I only agreed to pay you $1 an hour, not $2 or whatever it is. Hamotzi mechaver olav haraya. Then if the sachir wants to get paid, he's going to have to bring a proof. So wait a second, what are we assuming over here? Hamid seifa baraya, from the fact that the case of the seifa says explicitly he needs to bring a proof. Havi Resha below Raya, must be that the case of Nishba Venotel and the Resha is when there is no Raya. So he doesn't have to bring any sort of Raya about anything. All he has to do is be Nishba Venotel. But according to Rav and Shmuel, what does he have to do? He has to at least have Edim that he was hired. If he doesn't have Edim that he was hired, he doesn't have the right to be Nishba Venotel. So the implication over here is that Rav and Shmuel are incorrect. Because the first mention of Raya is when we talk about a case that they're arguing about the wages, when they're arguing about Ketzitza. But it sounds that if there was, in all the previous cases, there was no need for the Sacher to bring any Raya. All he needs to do is go and swear. Whereas Rav and Shmuel would hold, he does have to bring a Raya, not that he hasn't gotten paid or anything like that. His raya has to be, he has to at least bring a raya that he was hired. That much he needs to bring a raya for. So says Gemara, no, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Reisha v'Seifa Baraya. Both the Reisha and the Seifa are talking about a raya. Don't be medayik that just because we only mentioned raya by the case of Ketzitza, that prior to that there was no need for the Sacher to bring a raya. No, in the Reisha he also needs to bring a raya. He has to bring a raya, not that he hasn't gotten paid, but a raya that he was hired initially, and then he can swear and get paid. Raya de Lishlam Katani, Raya de Shmuel lo Katani. Why then do we only mention Raya in the Seifa? Because the nature of the Raya in the Seifa is much much stronger than the nature of the raya in the reisha. In the sefer, when they're arguing about ketzitza, so what does he have to do? He has to prove that he hasn't gotten paid yet, and that raya is going to allow him to get paid. Meaning, bringing the raya, that's it. Now we can get paid. Such a raya is very strong. That's the kind of raya we're going to mention. But the case of raya in the reisha, when the sacher is bringing a raya that he was hired, let's say he were to just do that. He just brings a raya that he was hired. Where does that get him? So it gets him absolutely nowhere. He then still needs to go ahead and take a shvua. And only once he takes the shvua that he hasn't yet gotten paid, then he'll get paid. But the raya itself does not get him paid. The raya itself just gives him the opportunity to take a shvua. So that's why the raya of the reisha we don't even mention explicitly. It's sort of just understood. Whereas the raya of the seifa, which is a much stronger raya and it accomplishes so much more for him, we're going to mention explicitly. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter. Amr Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Sholchu lehu mibei Rav leShmuel. They sent from the Beis Medrash of Rav to Shmuel. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, teach us our Rabbi. Uman Omer Shtayim Ketzatzli. If the worker says, the guy who's working on the item says, we've set a price that you're going to pay me, whatever, $200 bills for this. Va'alo Omer, and the other guy says, Lo Kasatzli Lachala Achas. No, we've set an agreement that I'm only going to pay you $100 bill for this. Mi Nishba. Who's going to swear? Now, the assumption is somebody's going to swear. That apparently in the Beis Medrash of Rav, they assume that when they're arguing about ketzitza, about how much, somebody's got to swear. Now, we saw a discussion about ketzitza, and we said that when they're arguing about ketzitza, hamotzi mechaveiro lav haraya. You want to get paid? Prove it. But we're assuming somebody's going to swear over here. So, mi nishba. If you look at Tosos points out, lo kasas lo chela achas, al korchach airi, kigon da amar sha'adayin lo para osa achas. It has to be where the guy says, no, I only agreed to pay you $100 bill, and I haven't paid it yet. Right? Di para kvar, because if he already paid that amount, havale kofra kol, then he's denying everything. Then, because if he's saying, I already paid it, so one guy's saying, you owe me $200, the other guy's saying, no, I owe you nothing! Because I owed you $100 and I've already paid it. So he's a kofar hakol in that case. And we have to assume that the case is really a case of moda b'miktsas, right? Because b'samach mukminu lak Rabbi Yehuda d'bayo da b'miktsas. Because soon we're going to say that this teaching, this line, actually assumes like Rabbi Yehuda, who's only going to have the takana. If you remember from yesterday, we learned in the Mishnah, he's only going to hold of the takana d'rabanan that the sachir swears to collect in a case where the real din d'oraisa would have been that the employer should swear. Why? Because he's a moda b'mitzas. And what did the Rabbanan do? They didn't invent a shavua out of nowhere. They took a shavua that existed and should have been imposed on the employer, and instead they flipped it around onto the employee. That's the only case where Rabbi Yehuda is going to say the sachir is going to swear. So it's got to be a case where in some way the employer is a moda b'mitzas. So how can you have the employer being a moda b'mitzas? Must be he's saying, look, I do owe you money. I owe you $100. I just don't owe you $200. So that's a moda b'mitzas case. So that still says that must be the case in our Mishnah. It can't be that the worker is saying you owe me $200 and the employer is saying, no, I owed you $100 and I already paid you. Because that would be kofar hakol. And then Rabbi Yehuda would not hold that you have to swear. So says the Gemara, Minishpa, who swears? Amar lahen, Bezu Yishava Balabayis V'yafsid Uman. In this case, the Balabayis swears and the Uman loses out. So, Ktsitsa Vaday Midka Dekiri and Shi, because the whole reason we discussed yesterday, why is it that the Rabbanu were Misakeh, that the worker has the right to swear, is because we assume the Balabayis is so tarud, he's got so many things on his head, so many different employees, that he's never going to remember exactly how much, who he paid, what he paid, he's not going to remember all the details. But when it's a case where they're arguing about ketzitza, where they're arguing about agreed upon wages, those are the kinds of things the Balabais remembers. And since those are the kinds of things he remembers, there was never a need for the Rabbanan to be misakein to flip the shvua around onto the sachir. Remember, we have to remember the default position is that the Balabais should be the one that's swearing. It's only the Rabbanan that saw a problem with that were then misakein that the sachir should swear. Well, if the problem doesn't exist because it's a situation where we don't have to worry about the Balabais' memory, so then we keep the shvua with the Balabais. So frankly, Mara Eini, is that really so? Vatani Rabba Bar Shmuel Katzat Samotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. Didn't we learn that if you do Katzitza, if you set up a wage and you claim your wage was a higher wage and the employer said that the wage is a lower wage, so Samotzi Mechaver Olav Araya, you need to prove that that you were given the higher wage in order to collect. Vilo Maisi Raya Paka, and if you don't bring a proof, you lose out. So, but according to what you're saying now, you don't just lose out. Amai Yishava Balabayis Yafsid Uman. Let the Balabayis take the Shavua, and then the Uman will lose out. Only when the Balabayis takes the Shavua. Why are we just assuming automatically that you lose? So Rav Nachman Stadin Katani. So Rav Nachman says, no, what we mean to say is that there are two options over here. O Mevi Raya V'Yital, O Yishava Balabayis Yafsid Uman. There are two options, there are two ways this case could end. Either the worker could bring a raya, the uman could bring a raya. If he brings a raya, he has two edim that said that Baal Bayis agreed to pay him $200, so he's going to be able to collect the $200. You don't have anything better than two edim. There's no shvua when there's a raya, when he's got two edim on his side. So that's one way this case could end. In the absence of Edom or in the absence of Araya, the other way the case could end is the Baal HaBayis taking a Shavua, the Baal HaBayis swearing that, no, I never agreed to pay you $200, I agreed to pay you $100, and therefore I'm off the hook with $100, and the Uman will lose out because it's in the Baal HaBayis' control to take that Shavua. That's the way to understand it. Okay, Meisvei, Frak the Gemara. Hanosin Talisa Lu'uman. If a person gives his talis, he gives his garment over to an uman, to a tailor, let's say. Uman omer kasasi li shtayim v'alomer lo kasasi l'chela achas. The uman says, you agreed to pay me, again, two, and the Baal HaBayis says, no, I only agreed to pay you one. Kolz man shetalis piyad uman. As long as the uman still has the talis, al Baal HaBayis lavi raya. The Baal HaBayis is going to have to bring a raya that he only agreed to pay him a lesser price. Because the uman has the upper hand so long as he's holding on to the talis. Nasna lo, if the uman has already given the talis back to the Baal HaBayis, Bizmano Nishpa Venotel. So in the right time, so then he could be Nishpa Venotel. He can swear and collect his money. Over Zmano, but once the Zman is already passed for payment, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. Then he's going to have to bring a proof that he was supposed to get paid the higher wages and he hasn't gotten paid, and then he'll be able to collect. So frankly, Mar Bizmano Mia Nishpa Venotel. But what do we say? That on the day that he's supposed to get paid, in the right time, he could be Nishpa Venotel. The Uman can swear and collect. Amai, Yishava Baal HaBayis V'Yafsid Uman. But why should that be the case? Shouldn't we say, didn't we say before that whenever the argument is about the wages agreed upon, the Baal HaBayis will remember it, and if the Baal HaBayis will remember it, he's the one that's supposed to take the Shavua, and as long as he takes the Shavua, he's good to go. So why do we say Nishpa V'Notel, that the Uman has the right to swear in order to collect over here? Shouldn't we say that the Baal HaBayis has the right to swear, and the Uman loses out? This is exactly the case of Sachir in our Mishnah. So answers the Gemara, Amr of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kamani Rabbi Yehudi, he Tamar calls man sheshvua nota etzal Baal HaBayis sachir nishpa v'notel. We must be assuming like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda only holds of the concept of that Rabbi Yehuda holds that whenever there is a chiv on the Baal HaBayis to actually take the shvua, then the sachir is going to be nishpa v'notel. Then the sachir has the right, the chachamim or mesakein, that the sachir has the right to be nishpa v'notel. And over here also, it's a shvua. The shvua midar raisa is by the Baal HaBayis because it's a moda b'miktas. The Uman said, you owe me $200. Baal HaBayis says, I only owe you $100. It's a classic mode of mitzvahs. That's the case where the Rabbanim came along and were misakin that the Sachir is Nishpa V'Notel. So, frek the Gemara. Hey, Rabbi Yehuda, which Rabbi Yehuda are we talking about? What teaching of Rabbi Yehuda are we referring to? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda de Masnisin. If you're going to say we're referring to Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, well, does that make sense that Rabbi Yehuda is going to say in that Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah is going to say that the Sachir is Nishpa V'Notel, by that the Uman is Nishpa V'Notel? So frek the Gemara, Achmuri Kamachmir. But Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is more machmir in the sachir. Meaning, if you think about it, the Rabbi Yehuda on the Mishnah will take the shvua from the sachir and give it to the Baal HaBayis. Meaning, what was the case in our Mishnah? The case in our Mishnah was a guy was working. You have a sachir working for a Baal HaBayis. The sachir says, you owe me X amount of money. The Baal HaBayis says, no, I don't. Right? So Tanakama says, okay, sachir can swear and get paid. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, sachir can't swear and get paid unless it's a modah b'miktsas case. So what did Rabbi Yehuda do? He limited the cases where the Sakhir has control. He took away the right from the Sakhir to swear and get paid in several cases. He said the only way the Sakhir can swear and get paid is when the Balabayas was Moda B'miktsas. That's the only time we allow the Sakhir to swear and get paid. So Rabbi Yehuda, so if you want to say it's Rabbi Yehuda on the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is actually much more machmir on the Sakhir in the Mishnah. Ditan Rabbi Yehuda Marachatesha Miktsas Hoda'ah. Rabbi Yehuda says you need Miktsas Hoda'ah. So in the Braisa, why would it be that Rabbi Yehuda is being more makil on the sachir, right? Because again, the case of the Braisa was that bismano nishpa v'notel, that when the uman was working on the item and he returned it already and it was the time to get paid, he does have the right to be nishpa v'notel, and the chiddush is that we do not take away control from the sachir and give it to the balabais. So whoever the author of this Braisa was actually being very makil on the sachir. So how does it make sense that it's Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is more machmir on the sachir. Whoever the author of the Braisa is more makel on the sachir. Ella Rabbi Yehuda the Braisa. Rather, it must be a Rabbi Yehuda of a different Braisa. The Tanya, we have a Braisa that says as follows: Sachir calls man shlover loves mano harezu nishpa v'notel. A sachir, so long as the time for his wages has not passed, he can still be nishpa v'notel. V'imlav ainu nishpa v'notel, but otherwise he can't be nishpa v'notel. V'am Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says emasai b'zman shamar lotein schari chamishim dino sheish libiyadcha. That's where he says, give me the $50 that you owe me. V'amar iskabalta me'an dino zav. And the Baal Bayis says, what do you mean? I already gave you $25. So he says, you agreed to pay me wages of $100, and the guy says, I only agreed to pay you wages of $50. But if the Baal HaBayis tainas, I never hired you, or I hired you, but I already paid you, that if the Sakhi wants to get paid, he's going to have to bring a raya. So that's the Rabbi Yehuda that we're referring to, that says that the Sakhi is going to have to bring a raya if the Baal HaBayis has such tainas. So Maskler of Shisha Breid Ravidi, Ela Katsatz, Rabbi Yehudihi, Velo Rabbanon. So he says, so wait a second. So the case of Katzatz, the case where they set, where they had Katzatz Rabbi Yehudi v'lo Rabbanan, the case where we said that when they set a wage, when they're arguing about what the wage was, that the Sakhir swears, is that Rabbi Yehuda and not the Rabbanan? Meaning, in that case, that we allow, that they're arguing about what the wages were, and Rabbi Yehuda says, I allow the Sakhir to swear, I don't make the Sakhir give up the right to swear and pass on that right to the Baal HaBayis. I'm more makel on the Sakhir. That's Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's one who's more makel on the Sakhir. So, frankly, does that make any sense? Elokatzatz Rabbi Yehudi v'lo Rabbanan. Hashta hechi de machmir Rabbi Yehuda mikili Rabbanan. Hecha de makel Rabbi Yehuda machmiri Rabbanan. In the case where Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir, the Rabbanan are more makel, right? In the case of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir on the Sakhir. He doesn't give the Sakhir the right to take a Shavua unless it's a Moda B'miktsas. The Rabbanan are more makel, so where Rabbi Yehuda is more makel, by the case of Ketzitza, the Rabbanan are going to go and be more machmir. So which is it? Is Rabbi Yehuda more makel on the Sakhir, or is he more machmir on the Sakhir? Ve'elamai Rabbanan. So it must be that it's assuming like the Rabbanan. So if it's, but that doesn't work either. Ve'elahadetani Rab Bar Shmuel Katzatz Amotzi Mechaver Lavaraya Money La Rabbi Yehuda V'la Rabbanan. But if the Rabbanan are the ones that are saying that the Sakhir takes the Shvua in a case of Ketzitza, well then, who holds that by Ketzitza nobody takes a Shavua, and we just say Amotzi Mechaver Olav Araya? That would be going neither like Rabbi Yehuda nor like the Rabbanan, right? It wouldn't fit either one. Then we're stuck. So Ella Amarava Bahaka Miflegi. So it must be that it's really going like Rabbi Yehuda. Why is Rabbi Yehuda more machmir on the Sakhir in the Mishnah, more makel on the Sakhir in the Braisa? So he says, not everything is about machmir makel. Sometimes there are svaras, and you have to think through the logic of the presentation of the case. Rabbi Yehuda savar bida araisa avdulei takanta v'sakhir. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, when there's a shvua d'araisa that the Baal HaBayis has to take, because the Baal HaBayis is a mode of mitzvahs, so the Rabbanan made a takana that the Sakhir gets to take the shvua instead. That the employee gets to take the shvua instead. That's where the Rabbanan made a takana. ubedrabbanan havai takanta, v'takanta lo takanta lo avdinan. But when the initial case is only a shvuah drabbanan in the first place, a kofra akol, it's only a shvuah sesis midrabbanan, you don't have any chiv shvuah daraisa. So since the shvuah initially is only takana drabbanan, the rabbanan then don't make an additional takana to flip that shvuah drabbanan onto somebody else. That's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Nothing to do with machmir meikil. He's not trying to be machmir in anybody. He just says that the whole nature of the takana drabbanan, that the sacher takes a shvuah, is only when there already existed a shvuah d'oraisa, and the rabbanan were misakin to alter it and to change who takes the shvuah, but not when there's a shvuah drabbanan. V'rabbanan savri b'drabbanan nami avdin takanta the sacher k'tzitza mitkadakir, and the rabbanan hold that no, even on the shvuah drabbanan, the rabbanan made a takana to flip the shvuah onto the sacher. And when it comes to k'tzitza mitkadakir, we assume that a person remembers how much money he hired his workers for, and therefore they're more machmir by the sachir in that case. Fine, so that's how it's not a stira, just because Rabbi Yehuda seems to be more machmir on one end and more mekel on the other end. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter. Now the second case of our Mishnah. So we went through, if you recall, yesterday we had several cases in the Mishnah of someone who's nishpa v'neltel. The second case was a nigzal, someone who something was stolen from. The Mishnah spelled out the case that there were edim that saw someone go into somebody else's house. They saw Reuven go into Shimon's house to take a mashkon from Shimon without permission. Shimon then comes out and says, Reuven, you took my kelim. Reuven says, I never took anything. So all Shimon has to do is swear which kelim he took, and he can go and collect for them. Right? Since there were edim that saw Reuven go into his house, Shimon only has to swear what kelim Reuven took, and then he can go and he can collect them. So says the Gemara, Nigzal keitzal yimidin osa shnuchas abeis l'mashkano v'chulei, v'dilma l'mashkano. But wait a second, maybe he never took anything. How do we know he took anything? We saw he went into the house. We don't know that he took anything. After all, Milo Amar Rav Nachman, didn't Rav Nachman teach us? Hayman did not get Narga Biyade. If a person has an axe in his hand, Vamar Ezel Va'akhtle Ludikla, and he says, Ludikla Deplanya, and he says, I'm going to go and chop down the Dekel tree that belongs to so-and-so, Vishtakach Dekatl Vishadi, and then later we see that the Dekel tree was actually cut down, that it was actually chopped down, Lomrinan Dahu Katle, we don't automatically assume that the guy who had the axe and said that he was going to go and chop down the other guy's tree actually went ahead and chopped it down, even though we later saw the tree was actually chopped down. Alma Avid Inish Tagazim, below Avid. Because what we see from there is sometimes people make threats, empty threats, and they don't actually follow through. Sometimes people exaggerate what they plan on doing. I'm going to go chop down his tree, but they're just angry. They don't really actually plan on chopping down the tree, and we have no raya that he chopped it down. So chinami dugazim v'lo avid. So here also, why don't we say the same thing? The guy said, I'm going to go and grab a mashkon from your house, and he storms into the house. We don't know that he actually took anything. Maybe he was just threatening. It was an empty threat. We don't know that anything actually happened. So says the Gemara, ema umashkano. So the case must be that we saw not just that he went into the house, but that he took something. And we just don't know what he took, and then all Shimon has to do is take a shvuah about what he took, and he'll be able to collect. So, frankly, Rav Lachsi, my mashkin, why don't we just look at what he took when he walked out? So, the Shimon said, "You came into my house and you walked out with kelim. You hid them underneath your jacket, so we couldn't see exactly. The people outside couldn't see exactly what you took." Or question of when he's saying that you hid them under your jacket, is he saying people outside couldn't see even that you took anything, or they saw that you took, they just couldn't see what you took? Meaning, how big was the item that you were hiding under your jacket? Was it something that was bulging out and was obvious that there was something under there? Or am I claiming that it looked like you took nothing, but I know that you really took something? So if you look at Rashi, so Rashi assumes that the Edom didn't know that he actually took anything, because the Baal Bais is saying, yeah, you took something very small, you stuck it in your pocket, how are the Edom that see you walk out of the house, how are they going to know that you took anything? They'll never see that you took anything, because it was in your pocket, and it was a very small item. But that's the taina. Now this idea, that sometimes people exaggerate, and they don't actually follow through. Tosus quotes from the Rokeach, that's only true about Stam B'nai Adam, but someone who's Muchsak L'kach, someone that we know, someone that we know will do things, will follow through, so then we don't say such a thing. He says, V'chein Nireh, Tosus agrees with that assessment of the Rokeach, that it really depends on the person. That for some people that we know, they follow through on threats. Right? When the mob boss says he's going to break your knees, we know he's probably really going to do it. It's not something that, but when you know, when other people say it, they're probably not going to do it, because most people don't do things like that. So Frek tells us, "Tomar belavachim mehemin b'migul di bayamar dezavne minei de mehemin." Wait a second, shouldn't he be believed anyway? Because after all, he could have said that he bought the tree. Meaning, if he took the axe and he chopped down and he says, "I'm going to chop down the tree," and later we see that the tree was chopped down. So the Gemara says, "Ah, it's just a guzma. The guy was just exaggerating. He didn't really mean it." Even if he did really mean it, couldn't he be believed anyway with a taina that he bought that tree? After all, we say in Cheskos Abatim, Babas Daflam Revav, Haiman Denakin Maglu V'Chovilu Biyadei. A guy has his tools. He has his tool belt on. V'Amre Ezel V'Agdri L'Dikla Deplan. He says, "I'm going to go and I'm going to build a fence around the dekel tree of so and so. Dizavni Nehali, because he sold it to me." So Mehemin the Lo Chashad Nishlam Migdu Dikla Davdilei. We believe him because we assume he wouldn't be working on the tree that doesn't belong to him. So if he went ahead and he built a fence around it, we believe him that he actually bought it. So why don't you say over here also that if he went and he chopped it down, people don't chop down other people's trees, so it must be that he bought it. So it says, tell us this big difference between the two cases. Over there we were talking about taking fruits from the tree. Over there we were talking about actually going and taking fruits from the tree, and he's using his tools to go, not build a fence, but to go and remove fruits from the tree. And that's what the tree is for. And that's what people sell trees for. It's normal for you to sell the fruits of your tree. But over here we're talking about chopping down the tree. That's not something that people normally sell. I don't normally sell you my tree to give you the right to go and chop down a perfectly viable fruit-bearing tree. That doesn't make sense that I would have sold that to you. And therefore, in our case, he wouldn't be believed to say that it was sold to him. So the best we've got is that he says he didn't do it. That's the best we can do for him. And if we assume that it's just something that people exaggerate about, and we have no raya that he did it, so in Taka we would say he didn't do it. Fine, says Gemara, bottom line. Amar Rav Yehuda, Ra'u she'itim kelim tachas kanafav yatza. If we see that he hid kelim underneath his clothing and he went out of the house, v'amar l'kuchanin biyadi, and he says, "No, I bought it." And the Baal HaBayis says, "No, you didn't buy it. Eino ne'eman," he's not believed. So now the Gemara is going to make five qualifications of this din. That if we see that if he hid kelim under his clothing and he walked out and he says that I bought them, that he's not going to be believed. So, number one, v'lo amran ela balabayis she'eino asur lim kor kelev. We must be talking about a guy, a balabayis, who doesn't have a store in his house. He's just a regular balabayis. He's not someone who sells items. So why would he have sold you anything of his? He doesn't sell things normally. Al balabayis asur lim kor kelev ne'eman. But if it's a guy who runs a shop inside of his house and you walked out of his house with something claiming that you bought it, then we are going to believe that you bought it, because it's a very likely story when you're walking out of the house of a guy who often sells things. That's qualification number one. Qualification number two, v'she'ein asur lim kor kelev nami lo amran el dvarm she'ein darkan lahatmin. That we're also only talking about things that are not normal to hide. Al dvarm she'darkan lahatmin, but if it's something that is normal to hide, he's neman, he's going to be believed. Why? Because it looks suspicious that he's hiding it. If you bought it, what are you hiding it under your clothing for? But that's only if it looks suspicious. If it's the kind of thing that's supposed to get hidden under your clothing, because that's the normal way that you carry it, I can't think of anything, but if there is such an item... What? Shoulder pads. Okay, if you stole shoulder pads, it's normal to hide under your clothing, so then he would be believed. And qualification number three, v'she'ein darkan lahatmin nami lo amran eli inish delo tznia. And even if it's ain't dark alahatmin, we're only talking about a person who's not a very private person, doesn't generally try to hide things. But if he's someone who always hides everything, he's just very tsanua and he doesn't like to show off any of his new kelim. And when he buys a piece of jewelry, it's under his clothing. And when he buys everything, he just tries to keep everything very low key and very quiet. So it's not suspicious looking that he was hiding something when he walked out of the house. Of course he was hiding. That's what he does. That's this guy's hanaga all the time. If that's his hanaga, so then it's fine. V'lo Amran, qualification number four, Elizeh Omer Shulin V'zeh Omer Lekuchin, where the guy that was walking out with it said, "I bought it," and the Balabayas said, "You borrowed it." Aval B'gnuvin, Lav Kol Kmineh, but if the Balabayas said, "You stole it," then he's not believed. Then the guy who said that he bought it is believed, because Achzuke Inshi Beganvi, Lo Mechaskinon, the Balabayas has no right to be Machzik, the guy, the person who walked out with it, as a Ganav. You have no right to declare him as a ganav, and therefore he's going to be believed. And also, qualification number five, We must be talking about things that are normal to lend and to rent. But if it's not something that's normal to lend or to rent, it's something that you either you buy and that's it. It's not something that you would lend or you would rent, like food, let's say. You don't lend food or rent food, you sell food, right? So then we're not going to believe the Balabais, then we're going to believe the guy who walks out claiming that he had bought it. Because Rav Huna Bar Avin sent the following message, that something that's asur, the hashul lahaskir, something that's generally made to be loaned out or to be rented, so and the guy claims, l'kuchanin biyadi, the guy claims that he purchased them, eino neman, the guy is not going to be believed. Ki hada Rava, like the story of Rava, afik zuga de sarvala, v'sifra dagadata miyasmi, v'dvar masuyin lahashul lahaskir. He took away, he confiscated from Yisomim, a zuga de sarvala, scissors that they use to cut begadim, to cut cloth, and a sifra d'agadita, svarim, from Yisomim, because they're dvarim asuyin lahashul lahaskir, because these are things that are normal to lend out and to rent. So if it's normal to lend out and to rent, you can't claim that it was actually purchased. Why sifra d'agadita? Why does it mention agadita svarim as opposed to other svarim? So Rashi says, sifra d'agadita, it's ein adam asuy lumo bem tadir. People don't generally learn from them that much. Agadita, you're supposed to learn a little bit at a time, but the meat and potatoes of learning is you learn shas, you learn poskim, right? That's what real, you learn Tanakh, Shas, Poskim. So that's the primary learning. Sifra Dagadita is like on weekends, you know. Sifra Dagadita is when you're learning in leisure time. So Rashi says, but Shar Svarim are not also the Hashul Haskir. So the only Svarim you would lend out are Sifra Dagadita. Your Gemaras you need, because you're always learning from them. The Sifra Dagadita you read on occasion, you don't need them so frequently. Things that you don't need so frequently, that's also the Hashul Haskir. That's how Rashi understands. Tosos, if you look at Tosos, Sifra Dagadita, says Tosos near the Kolshkein Shar Svarim. Kolshkein, all other Svarim, the Shederich Lashil and Yoser, that you're more likely to lend out other Svarim. Gemara Ksubis says, if you write Svarim and lend it out to other people, you have a Svarim library where you lend out to other people, that's Sidkaso Medes La'ad, that's doing a great thing. You're doing a phenomenal thing. So for sure, by the primary Svarim, you're doing a phenomenal act. So Rashi is focused more on what you need versus and you're not going to lend out that which you need. Tells us to focus more on not what you need, but what's the greater mitzvah. Amrav afilu shomer nishpa, afilu ishtol shel shomer nishpa. Even the shomer could be nishpa, even the wife of a shomer can swear. Bayra papa schiru v'lekito mai. What about the hired employee of the shomer? So teku, the Gemara leaves that as a teku. Amrav le'rav yemer le'rav ashi, tanu b'kas l'dekas b'mai. If he claims that you walked out of my house holding a silver goblet, hiding a silver goblet, what's the din? Chazina, I inishtamid hu, inishtamahemin hu, demafkadi inchigabei, mishtava vishakil, vilo lo. So he says, well, then we'll believe him in one of two cases. Either he's a very rich guy, so it's likely he has a silver goblet. You got to remember, silver was much more expensive those days, we learned yesterday. So either he's a very rich guy and he has a silver goblet, or he's not such a rich guy, but he's a very trustworthy guy. And if someone else has a silver goblet, it's likely that they trusted him with it. So then it's likely that he's telling the truth. But if he's not either rich or extremely trustworthy, it's unlikely he's telling the truth, and therefore he's not going to be believed. Okay, Baruch Hashem, will pick up from Tudas, Nechval Ketzad, tomorrow. There's not going to be a Daf Yomi Shira on Shabbos or Sunday. I'm going to be away for the weekend. And next Shabbos Sunday. So two Shabbos Sundays in a row.